Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So today we have a very special interview for you. We've got Kate Scudder here. And she is a business coach and a success catalyst for driven women entrepreneurs who are ready to turn their zone of genius into a profitable, purpose-driven business. She started and scaled her own six-figure business and more than 20,000 boss babes in under a year, all from her laptop. So she's just this incredible business wizard. I love the word catalyst here. Yeah, so she helps bold-hearted women by teaching how to unblock their mindsets, up-level their game, and unleash their ability to make money and change the world, all from behind the laptop, which is super cool because, you know, lately we've been having this sort of incredible wave of people dipping into the business ownership world. And there is this beautiful flood of women entrepreneurs and women helping women. And I love what's going on here. The thing is, though, that as we see more and more people get into business ownership, there are all sorts of issues that come up, right? Because it used to be you could just kind of show up, right, and do your thing. And you didn't have to separate yourself from the crowd. You didn't have to do a lot of the business strategy that people have to do now just because there are so many people in that world. So it's beautiful to have a mentor and a coach like Kate by your side to show you how to do it. So instead of getting lost in that world with so much information, you could just have a guide to show you how to build your business, sell it, and do your thing so that you can live your life instead of just working all the time. So I'm sure you're going to have a ton of knowledge bombs coming your way here. So without further ado, welcome Kate. Happy to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Dan. It's great to be here.
So, Kate, tell me a little bit about, let's dip real quick into your story. I think that's always kind of fun. How did you get into this world?
Absolutely. So I started my business in 2017. I was living in Bali, but before that, I always joke, everyone here is like, oh, you moved to Bali and started a business and scaled it to six figures. And that's not exactly how it went. I started my career as an educator. So my first real role was in the nonprofit space. I was directing an international literacy initiative, graduated from college, went to grad school straight away, graduated with my master's in education at 23. And then I taught for 2 years. I was teaching high school Spanish, among a few other things. I was at a small private school, so wore a zillion different hats. So I've always had this passion, Dan, for being in front of the room and inspiring others and, you know, designing curriculum and really crafting experiences that help people learn. But I realized very quickly after a couple of years of, you know, a super low salary and just getting spread massively thin and driving an hour each way to work every day that I wanted to do it. I needed to find a way to impact the world and to lead in a different way. And that really catalyzed my more personal development journey. So I got my 200-hour yoga teacher training certification in 2014. And in 2015, so let's back up for a second, August of 2014, I quit my teaching job after 2 years. And everybody thought I was absolutely crazy. I was at a great school. I was on an upward trajectory there, but I felt very much like a big fish in a small pond. And like I said, I had that deeper knowing that I was meant to use my gifts in a bigger way, but I didn't know what that was yet. And so, you know, I was cobbling a bunch of different jobs together for the next couple months after that, after I left the job. And I saw that there was a all-women's yoga teacher training, a 500-hour training with an emphasis on women's leadership. And I thought, that is really interesting to me. I really want to do that. Thing is, it was in Bali. And I had never before thought, I mean, I read Eat, Pray, Love, but I never actually thought I would travel to Bali ever. It was just super far away and it wasn't on my radar, but something about this training really held my attention and really had me know this, I'm supposed to go there. I'm supposed to do this. And so that's what I did. I saved up, you know, I had barely any savings. I was working on a tiny teacher salary before, and I invested $6,000 to get myself across the world and into that room to really develop myself. And I always say, Dan, you know, people ask the question a lot, like, what's your secret to success? Or how have you been able to do it? And I can really trace back from this first super early decision to invest in myself before investing in my business, which was, you know, the absolute precedent to grow my business, that the willingness to lean in to the uncomfortable and to invest in myself has always been a characteristic, you know, really a risk-taking capacity that I've had, but it has always yielded back so, so much. And so I went to Bali. This was in February, March, 2015. And, you know, had an incredible experience, really just truly strengthening my sense of self and what I wanted to do and my gifts. And a couple days after the training finished, I met my now husband on the beach in Bali. So I always joke, I went for the yoga, stayed for the love, but it's basically true. I canceled some of my onward travel plans. Mind you, I'm like a super, super independent, super driven woman, was not the kind of person to just derail my whole travel arrangement for some guy that I met, but I knew this was special. And sure enough, we've been married happily now for 2.5 years and have been together for nearly 5, actually. So it's just been a wild, amazing journey. And we moved, Toby, my husband, was living in Bali at the time. I moved there with him at the very end of 2015, beginning of 2016. And that's when I really gave myself the opportunity to be surrounded by digital nomads and entrepreneurs who were doing the whole laptop lifestyle thing, who were had crazy awesome businesses that they were running from anywhere. And I thought, I want to learn how to do this. But it did not happen overnight. I spent a lot of time researching, scribbling in endless notebooks, not taking action. Meanwhile, my savings was dwindling very, very quickly. So I got a remote job as a technical writer, and I was writing user documentation, like super boring stuff, while living in Bali, which was very helpful in order to save up money, but in some ways could have been a real safety cocoon. Like, I was making a great salary for living abroad, you know, something that many expats in Bali would probably be envious of. But I knew for me, it was just the means to an end. It was the opportunity to really establish myself, get my feet firmly in the ground, and save up enough money to heavily invest in my business. But as I started to do that, as I started to save, as I started to plan, I became so like inundated with the thoughts of, well, who am I to do this? Am I really ready? A lot of imposter syndrome. And it wasn't until I got myself truly accountable, I joined an in-person mastermind in March of 2017 that really lit a fire under my butt to put myself out there. And then in May of 2017, I launched my business, and I haven't looked back since. It's been a wild journey, but that's the broad brushstroke of how it all came to be.
I love that. And I love the adventure in it, is that, you know, I view this entrepreneurial journey as it really is an adventure. I mean, you took it like literally around the world, but for a lot of people, even if you're just staying in your laptop, right, it's going to take you to some really interesting places, whether it's psychologically or, you know, just emotionally, sometimes physically, sometimes it'll actually move you. And I love that you were ready to listen to yourself and listen to the messages that were given to you and trusted that investing in yourself and taking these risks would work out. I think that's a huge thing for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, is that tolerance for risk. And,
absolutely.
You know, like Tony Robbins said that, you know, your success is determined by your ability to withstand uncertainty.
Yes. I really couldn't agree more. And I think that goes way beyond business. I mean, I think about every meaningful thing that I've been able to experience, accomplish, have in my life has been a result of being willing to stretch myself to the uncomfortable place. And this is so relevant, guys, from like a micro level down to, you know, how do you push yourself at the end of a workout when you're feeling uncomfortable, when you're not sure if you're going to be able to keep going, to how do you make decisions as your company is scaling and growing? And yeah, big revenue is coming in, but you're wondering, am I going to be able to keep doing this? Like, it's truly this muscle that I believe all leaders and all entrepreneurs need to become comfortable with, is getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And I just think this is so interesting, Dan. I don't know if you experience this, but I see this so much. I talk about this with my clients and my students all the time, is, you know, we feel really good posting a meme on Instagram of like, growth begins at the edge of your comfort zone or outside your comfort zone. And it's very comfortable to know the concept of that. But the actual sensation of making a decision and moving forward and executing on that decision is like the least comfortable thing in the world. And so I just always think it's so important to be really vigilant and mindful of, am I walking the talk I preach? Am I living by the memes I post on Instagram? And if not, and that's not to like shame anybody if that's something that you're posting and that's something you're working on, but just a reminder that like those words exist for a reason, and the felt sense reality of living them is often so different. I mean, I was sharing this on an interview that I did yesterday. For me, I spent so long second guessing myself, so long sitting on the sidelines, so long wondering if I was ready, that when I put myself in that catalyst, in that container to grow, and I had accountability, when I finally put myself out there, I still had fear, but it wasn't about, I was no longer looking for a way to not feel fear as permission to start. I had learned that this is going to be here and my results are going to be determined by my willingness to learn to live and still move forward with fear present. And that's been one of the most empowering, liberating experiences and lessons that I've learned as an entrepreneur. And it's served me in every single stage of business, you know, from just starting out as like a fledgling entrepreneur in Bali to now running, you know, a team of 7 and $500,000 company. And that's, it's been a progression.
I love that. I love that. And that's one of those things that I do talk with my clients a lot as well, is like, I don't care about your comfort, like at all. Like, it's not even a consideration for me. I kind of view safety as the enemy of growth. And really, you know, for anybody listening to this who is a business owner or think about being a business owner, you really got to ask yourself, like, what do you want to have more of? What do you value more? Being safe and certain. And also that means without a doubt playing small. So safe, certain, and then have a mediocre life and a mediocre business, and then have mediocre for the rest of your life. Or give up that certainty, give up that safety, get into the world of risk, and then have anything you want, right? As long as you're really ready to step into that discomfort, a lot of people back out there.
Right. I completely agree with you. And I think that the reason for that is there's a big gap between taking the risk and having that luxurious life by the pool, sipping coconuts, just snapping your fingers and having everything come on you and money just pours out from the sky. Like that's the least real entrepreneur painting in the world. And it drives me crazy when I see that kind of advertising. Because I think it's really misrepresentative. And so it requires a tolerance for, you know, you used the word uncertainty before. I think that's very accurate, but it requires a tolerance for real persistence and resilience and no longer plugging your sense of safety into something outside of yourself. Because let's be real, either you're an entrepreneur or you're working for one. Like there are no guarantees. Even I don't care if you're working for Google. I don't care if you're working for Apple. I don't care if you're working for Facebook. Whatever corporation you're in, whether you're in a 9-to-5 or you're in service and you're working at a restaurant, or whatever it is that you're doing, like the sense of safety, where is that actually coming from in your brain? Well, it's coming from, if I show up 40 hours a week or I show up however many hours a week, I'm going to yield this amount of money. And that is going to enable me to do X, Y, Z in my life. But what I think the skill set as entrepreneurs that we learn to cultivate is, I trust myself. I know that if I show up to, you know, and have support in the process to develop an unshakable mindset and a disposition and energy and habits that set me up for success. If I work on a strategy that is maybe not bulletproof to start, you know, I think a lot of the times it's so important to set a high picture strategy, but there's going to be tons of times that you have to pivot. There's going to be tons of times that you make mistakes. But when you are able to back yourself enough of, I've got the energy foundation, I've got the strategy foundation, I'm ready and I'm willing to make sales in whatever that industry is, you're changing your definition of safety to, I rely on others for the results I want, to, I can rely on myself for the results I want. And ultimately, I think that is the most liberating and the most truly empowering thing that we can do.
I completely agree. And that's also why, you know, I focus on mindset with my clients so much. Even the ones who come, especially the ones who come in for like business growth or scaling their businesses, never really talk about that. Because before you have that switch that you just said so beautifully there, it's like before you can switch your definition of safety so that it comes from within, no matter what is happening around you. And I really mean no matter what, right? Like you could have the terrible months, you could have the breakup, you could have the whatever happening in your life, and you still find that source of safety in you, that source of, I can do this, I'm going to pull this off, you know, being your real, your own cheerleader, right? Before that happens, I really don't think anything can happen. I think after that, everything is essentially a mistake. Like you're kind of like falling down the stairs upward, you know, before you have that mindset really ingrained. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah.
You also said, oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I think that, you know, the mindset piece is so important. And the thing, I mean, I always say that mindset isn't actually about mindset. Mindset is about, I mean, it is about the way that you think and the way you perceive and the immediate conclusions that your brain jumps to. But changing the way that you perceive, changing the way that you believe, changing the way that you think does not just impact your own mental sphere. It impacts everything and everyone around you in your business. It's quite literally the foundation. And so if you are, you know, here, because I hear this a lot, like, oh, I don't need mindset help. I need strategy help, or I need this. What I find so much of the time, I just shared a video on this actually earlier this week, that I see probably 95% of the entrepreneurs that I see struggling, grasping after strategy, grasping after another 5-point bulletproof formula, grasping after, you know, the launch plan and the lead generation strategy that's going to master things for them. They are not actually missing a strategy. So if that strategy is organic community building and content creation and developing an irresistible offer and developing a launch strategy to sell that, they might have that all written down. They might know exactly where they're going, but why are they not seeing results? Because of the foundational belief, well, can I actually do this? Who am I to do this? What if this isn't good enough? Crap, I don't really know what I'm saying. And that thought process produces actions that determine results. And so those actions might look like not showing up to execute on the strategy that we've set forth. And then because we haven't executed, we look at the strategy and say, well, the strategy was flawed. But it's not actually about the strategy. It's about the energy that is fueling that strategy forward. And I think that, you know, it's so important in business that we're able to look at these two components as equally important. And it's kind of like if strategy is the car, energy is the fuel, you can't actually get to where we want to go without having both.
So how can you describe it to someone? Like, how could they self-diagnose? They got some issues, things aren't working. How can someone listening to this know whether what they need is mindset or strategy?
That's a great question. So the first thing that I would say is, are you clear on who your audience is, what you're selling? Like, do we understand the problems that you solve for your people? Like, first of all, do we even have a business? Because if we're just like frustrated that we're plopping some stuff up on Instagram and not making heaps of cash, you know, the question is, do you actually have a business? Do you have a target audience that you're marketing to? Do you have a specific problem that you help your people solve? Do you have a solution that you deliver to them by way of products and services? Do you have a product suite at least basically sketched out? Do you have at least one offer that you can tell me in detail the framework and features of that offer? If not, it's time to start with looking at the, you know, the structural elements, the strategy. I always say like strategy is kind of like the riverbanks and energy is the river moving through it. And so if you have all of those things and you are, you know, posting content or you're trying to get your business off the ground, then it may be a messaging issue. It may be an energy and execution issue. But again, until we know, if you can clearly define the niche that you serve, the offers that you have and the targets that you have, then we've got the systems in place in order to say, okay, great. So how am I executing this strategy? Where am I not connecting with my people? Is the energy of my brand clear? Is the energy of my offer clear? Am I showing up to the workday, massively stressed out, disorganized, overwhelmed, and not seeing the results that I want there. Similarly, if you're like, no, I know exactly what my niche is, I'm totally smashing it, I'm showing up, I'm booking discovery calls, I'm booking sales calls, or I'm you know, I have people in my sales pipeline that I nurture through a different sales process, but we're not closing, then we have a sales issue. And that's sort of the metric that I would use to diagnose where the actual problem is in business. But I think it's really important for entrepreneurs to be radically, radically honest with ourselves of like, where if I'm feeling stuck, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm feeling like I don't know what I'm doing, let's just go back and get very clear the absolute basics, because then you're going to be able to flesh out what needs to happen next.
Yes. And I want to stress again what clarity means in what you just said, Kate, because it was not exactly clear to me when I started my business, because I thought, well, clear is clear, right? If it feels clear to me, then it must be clear. But then going into it, it turns out that I was actually still digging around with like vagaries. So here's kind of a metric that I use for it. If you can clearly describe your target market, your offering, your solutions, your everything in such a way that a director could put it on a screen and then actually project what you saw in your mind on the screen exactly, then it's clear. Anything short of that, not clear yet, right? And that's why, you know, it's really challenging. You know, some people, I want to help women. It's not clear enough. I want to help women business owners. Still not clear enough, right? We've got to get down into it. And that's actually something that you help a lot of your clients with as well, right?
Exactly.
Is really getting to like, what does the word niche really mean for people? And how do people know when they've hit it?
So the way that it's a great question, and I like the inquiry into what does clarity actually mean. I think that's brilliant. That reminds me of something that we have in place in my company and my team is, you know, defining what done means. It's a different conversation about, you know, tasks and team and all of that. But I think just getting clear on what our definitions are just so, so important. And so the niche piece, you're absolutely right. I say, I help women. Help women to what? I help women entrepreneurs. I help women entrepreneurs to what? I help women entrepreneurs who are Aries rising, Aquarius moon to like blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, fine. But what do you help them do? So the first place that I start with all of my clients, I teach a program on this called Nail Your Niche. It's one of my best-selling programs. But the place that we start, Dan, in that curriculum is defining the problems that we help people solve. A big thing that I see happen in the entrepreneurial space is, you know, inventing these mythological avatars, you know, like, oh, my ideal client is Jenny and she's a graphic designer and lives in New York. And, you know, we do these ideal customer avatar worksheets, but they don't actually give us any information. The question that is much more useful is, what is the problem that you help people solve? And so for me, the problem that I help women solve is starting and scaling a business. Struggle with starting and scaling a business. All sorts of, you know, the range of application of that is where, you know, the product suite gets developed to solve specific like micro components of that overarching problem. But if you're not clear on the problem, we can't build a business because we don't have an issue that's your whole entire business and the story of your business, the story of your brand, the story of how you do it differently. It's really defined from that problem. And one very helpful way, and this is more moving into marketing and messaging and positioning, but one helpful exercise that I give to all of my students is, okay, now that we've defined the problem, what is the ripple pain? Think of it in these terms, the core problem that you help people solve. So let's say you're a health coach, you help people lose weight, or you help people balance hormones, or you help people increase their energy. So that what? Like, what is the pain that your people are in right now as a result of not solving that problem? And where I see a lot of missed connection with an audience happen is that when we stay almost in this like reading from a notebook, here are the problems I solve kind of a way without actually getting into the lives and getting into the result, the ripple effect, the application of how not solving that problem is playing out in our people's lives. Because if we're just using our expert lens to describe problems that we see, we're not connecting with our readership and our audience and our viewers in their language and in the way that they perceive with emotion. And that's what builds, you know, a truly magnetic business is a business that evokes a feeling of, oh my gosh, she knows exactly what I'm going through. Oh my gosh, how did she, like, is she in my head right now? That's the goal. And the way that we do that is by really getting clear on the problems and the ripple pain that those problems are causing in the lives of our people.
Totally. And by the way, this is important throughout any phase of your journey. So if you're listening to this and saying, well, I'm not just starting out, I am already, like for me, I just went through another round of niche clarification and my business is already at multiple six figures, right? So this can help you everywhere. And actually, it can be a blocker. So the funny thing is you could make a lot of money and then find yourself stuck and then realize that the thing that's getting you stuck is not your complicated funnels or your complex offers or anything like that. It could be in the fundamentals. Like maybe you skipped a step in what Kate was saying in terms of really clarifying your niche and it got you so far, but it won't let you get further.
Absolutely.
You know, that can also happen.
Absolutely. And I think that happens a lot. And these foundations, it's like, it's more like a spiral. Like we don't ever outgrow them. Same thing with sales. You know, if you are not comfortable selling, like whether it's the first package that you sell, whether it's a six-figure contract, like it's the same work that has to be refined. And so I think that this part of the conversation, Dan, is really about moving from this almost insatiable quick win culture that I think has taken over in the last couple of years in the online space, where we think we're supposed to be millionaires in 2 seconds, where we think we're supposed to have a zillion followers in 4 minutes. And if we're not, then we're doing something wrong. And you know what happens with trying to grow in any rate that quickly, we're inevitably going to miss steps. We're inevitably not going to be set up on strong foundations. It's inevitably going to be a shit show on the back end. And what I think is much more important is almost like the slow business movement of like coming back to this truly not throwing out the foundations, not throwing out the fundamentals, but actually bringing them with you in every elevated stage of business that you go, because then the growth that you experience is not going to be fast and fleeting. It's going to be sustainable. It's going to be repeatable. And that is ultimately the business that is going to stand the test of time.
Yeah. And I know that, like literally know it, felt it, went through it. Because when I started my business, I did not know any of that stuff. The person who was supposed to show me the ropes was a disaster. And so I did exactly what you said not to do. I skipped all of this stuff. I didn't know what it was. And it took me a little while before I hired a coach. My first business coach was not that great. There was me just like fumbling around. And now I'm going back and really mastering those fundamentals after I have a growing business already. And it is a challenge. I kind of wish that I had done things in the right order. So make sure, you know, order of operations is really working for you. If you're listening to this and wondering what you should do. And yeah, you know, those fundamentals can't be skipped, especially not in the name of cash, because it sets up a weird, like emotional thing, you know, because your ego.
Well, it creates mindset issues, right? Well, and yeah. It creates all these mindset issues of like, oh, I should be further ahead, or oh, I did all these things, but you know, did we just throw money at something and think that that was going to solve the problem? I think that, it's so important. But the other thing I think is important to mention about your story, Dan, is like, okay, so your start was a little bit left-footed. It felt like, whoops, didn't get the right support to start. Whoops, did some of these things the wrong way in the beginning. But you have a multiple six-figure business. You figured it out and you're still growing from there. And so I think it's so important to remember for anybody who feels like, oh shit, I'm totally in that space, or oh no, I've made the wrong choice. There's no point of past return. Like as an entrepreneur, you're going to fail way more times than you succeed. And that is okay. Like that is part of the process. You're going to have some epic wins, and then something's going to happen that knocks the wind out of your sails, or really scares you, or challenges you, or flexes a muscle that you haven't had to utilize before. And all of that is normal. And I think that a much more important overarching necessity for success is not like, yes, obviously we're sharing all this goodness so that you can learn from our mistakes and not have to make them for yourself, but also know that if you've made mistakes, if you are in the middle of making mistakes, when you experience mistakes again, that there's always a way through when you keep going. I mean, I can't emphasize this enough. I think this is so, so important. There have been so many times in my journey that I've thought, all right, I'm at my upper limit, or I can't recover from this, or, you know, I don't know what to do. And the most important thing is not getting it right, actually. The most important thing is staying consistent, staying committed, staying humble, staying connected to why you started this thing in the first place. And I know for me, that has charged me up and carried me through in the moments that have been really hard. And, you know, we don't like to talk about those a lot as an entrepreneur, but I think they happen. Those moments come up and they're testing and they're trying. But if you are connected to the heartbeat of your movement and the mission that you're here to do and that your company is here to do, that's always going to fuel you forward.
Yeah. And man, ain't that the truth? So many people get into entrepreneurship because they think it's going to make their lives easier, which I think is a really cute misconception. It can, and it eventually will. But in the beginning, there are no promises. All bets are off. And that's also why I think it's really important, like you said, to have this vision, to have this big, bright, beautiful mission that when you even think of it, gets you going, right? It gives you that energy because things are going to be very hard, right? I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this just to let you know, like, hey, you know, if you want to be coddled, go somewhere else. If you want to know the truth, you know, you got to really look at it and you got to know shit's going to be coming at you hard and fast, and it'll surprise you and it'll be devastating at times. It'll be beautiful. It'll be incredible. It'll be it's got the whole range of emotions in it, right? It really is kind of a roller coaster, and things can change in the scope of a day. You know, I've gone from thinking, well, fuck, the world is falling apart, to the next day of like everything is lined up for me and the life is beautiful. So we need some things to help support us through these. And that big, beautiful mission, that incredible vision of how you're going to influence this world, of the impact you're going to leave on it, and how you're really going to help people. What are you really doing here that gets you going will help you elevate past through the day-to-day ups and downs. It allows you to see that this is not just getting through the day or getting through the month or getting through the year. You're creating something really big, something important, something that is going to leave a mark on this planet and is going to be your legacy. And when you can have that really clear in your mind, then shit can happen and it won't be as bad. Right? It might hurt in the moment, but you'll know, like, it's okay. You know what to do. It's easier for you to make choices. It's easier for you to bounce back. It'll give you that inspiration when you're feeling low or you're feeling exhausted or feeling like you just want to drop everything and run away. And we really need that. And the other thing also that I saw that you do help your clients with, which I think is really important, is finding your zone of genius. Because here, for me, every time I've had extreme difficulty, whether it's within my business or within, you know, my health, I've had these bouts of adrenal exhaustion and fatigue and organs literally just shutting down out of nowhere. And things have been extremely difficult. And the one thing that has helped me really get through, other than that big, bright, beautiful mission, is the fact that I know what my zone of genius is and I lay into it. Like, I really spend a lot of time in it, because that's the one place that gives you energy. When you're in your zone of genius, that is the one activity, or like the one activity type, that you can do that instead of taking energy, gives it to you. And that, like, knowing that can really help. But I'd love to get your input. Like, how do you view zone of genius and how do you teach your clients about it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that as business owners, especially when you are the face of your brand, when you are leading a team, when you're leading clients, it's so important to cultivate that self-awareness and that curiosity about how do you help people? What are the strengths that you have? What are the ways that you are naturally gifted? What are the ways that you are really skilled at? And maybe that wasn't natural, maybe that was cultivated, but what are those pieces? And I think that, you know, understanding and finding your zone of genius is very much about, it starts with that self-inquiry And frankly, it also requires you to stop playing like you don't know. Stop playing like, oh, I'm not really good at this. And this is where I think the mindset piece and the self-belief work comes in so much with Zone of Genius. I mean, I've had clients come in with decades of experience and, you know, just absolutely extraordinarily talented, gifted, genius women in certain areas, and they're bringing that to a new application and feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm such a fraud. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not really good at this. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang the phone up just a minute. Like, you're amazing at all of this and all of this and all of this. You've got all of this experience. And so I think the Zone of Genius work really comes from, I mean, the exercise that I give my clients is very simple. It's like, write about yourself as if you were an outsider writing about you, like writing a Forbes feature on you, writing a press feature on you. Like, what are you amazing at? What are you better at than anybody else in the world? What's your special sauce that nobody else has? And, you know, I have a quiz on my website. If for anybody listening, feel free to go and take that. That's a really great way to help you discover what your zone of genius is. But, you know, I believe as entrepreneurs, there are different archetypes. You know, some people are lighthouses. That's how it's described on my quiz. You know, those are the ones like on stage, center stage, inspiring, leading the way, really excellent at communication, excellent with people skills, excellent with like high picture vision and strategy and mobilizing and energizing. Some people are strategists. They're back end people. They're specialists in one particular thing, whether that's coders, funnel hackers, builders, you know, specialists in one particular area of marketing. Like, and the thing is, we need every single type of genius in order to be able to grow a business. We don't need to have every single one of those qualities in ourselves, but, you know, as we grow and scale, those pieces become important. So it's so critical as an entrepreneur to develop that self-awareness and that curiosity of what is my role in this bigger space? Because I mean, I just see how this has helped me. It's helped my clients so much. It's helped me. It's helped inform the hires that I make in my business, how I hire out, how I delegate, how I operate day to day. And, you know, I've reached the place in my business that I'm literally only doing things in my zone of genius. I'm coaching, I'm ideating, I'm creating programs, I'm delivering those programs, you know, I'm working with my clients, and that's it. Like, everything else can, and creating content, and everything else can be delegated. All of the back end things, all of the things that are not my zone of genius, you know, that I did in the beginning because I had to. And there are stages of business where you have to do things outside of your zone of genius. But as you grow and scale, the smartest way for you to scale is to delegate as much as possible that's outside of your zone of genius as soon as possible.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And Kate, what's the website so people can go and take that quiz?
Yeah, it's just my website. So it'll pop up at the very top of my website. So it's katescudder.com. That's CAITSCUDDER.com. And you'll see a prompt to say, take the quiz. And that's where you can take the quiz, find out your zone of genius, pop your email in, and you'll get a bunch of emails describing what that genius looks like and how to leverage it to grow your business.
That's so dope. So Kate, what other things are you doing this year that people can join you for?
Absolutely. So I've got a couple of exciting things coming up, Dan. I'm hosting a retreat in April in Bali. That's a 3-day business retreat for women. I'm also hosting a longer retreat from June 2nd to 7th in Palm Springs, California. And that's also a female business owners retreat. So if you are a woman and you are wanting to get in the room with other incredible female entrepreneurs building empires, and want support to do that, these are amazing, amazing, amazing opportunities. And so those two are coming up. Let's see, what else have I got? I share things all the time inside of my free Facebook group. So if you're just looking to connect with an amazing tribe of women, we've got 2,300 and counting women entrepreneurs, you know, really active group. I share free trainings into that weekly and also keep you updated and posted on new programs coming out. We've got some exciting programming coming later this year. So you can stay connected there. And as always, on Instagram or also on my podcast, the Born to Rise podcast.
Love it. And I'll drop a bunch of links into the show notes so that people can easily find you. So Kate, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And it was so awesome. And I had so many knowledge bombs in here. If you're still listening, go back and listen to it again. There were a lot of things in there that you might not have caught because Kate has a very kind of just subtle way of dropping very huge knowledge bombs. So you might have missed a few. So go back and listen to it again and reach out to her. She really is a rock star and will help you wherever you are in your business. So do reach out. So Kate, again, thank you so much. And thank you for listening and for spending this time with us. If you got a lot out of this episode, or if you're digging this podcast, do Sophie and me a huge favor. Head over to iTunes, leave us those 5 stars in a review, or just take a screenshot on your phone and post it to Instagram. Tag Kate, tag me, tag Sophie. Let us know that you enjoyed it. It really does mean a lot to us.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you. All right, guys. Have a beautiful rest of your day.